Some MLB players just look awesome on the diamond. I have no doubt that every professional baseball player has an immense level of talent, but let's face it, some guys just look way cooler than others do at playing baseball. On any given night, you can turn on the TV and see some shining examples of this cool factor that we're talking about here. You got like Ronald Acuna Jr., or Alex Verdugo with his chains, or even Bryce Harper when he's rocking those Philly Fanatic accessories. There was an infielder who spent a few years playing in the MLB when I was a kid though, and I thought he was the coolest MLB player I had ever seen. I don't know if it was the excessive eye black, the flip-up sunglasses, the sleeves of tattoos, the skin-tight jersey, or the thought of endless amounts of Red Bull flowing through his veins, but as a kid, I thought Brett Laurie was as cool as it got. To this very day, you can still find me creating a similar build to his on MLB The Show. His career wasn't super lengthy, but it's no doubt he was pretty good. So join me today as we look back on the career of Brett Laurie.
Twins. Laurie high and deep to left. Koba looking up. Grand slam home run for Brett Laurie.
Oh boy. I'm glad we showed that home run in Baltimore because that was a pretty swing. This one was even better.
What's up, everyone? Thanks for tuning in. This is the very latest episode of the MLB Hall of Pretty Good podcast. This is the baseball podcast where we take those pretty good MLB players and shine a spotlight on their careers. Not everyone in the MLB is an Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani, so what we try to do here is give recognition to guys you won't always hear about on MLB Network or on ESPN. We cover those players that were fan favorites and essential members to some of your most treasured childhood squads. I appreciate all of you guys tuning into the show. If you happen to be new here, I put out 2 episodes a week every week. On our weekend episodes like the one you're listening to right now, what we do is we pick a player and we cover their entire career from start to finish. On weekday episodes, we call them a midweek mini. They're typically shorter than these weekend episodes, and what we do is we pick an individual season or moment, or sometimes even have an interview with a former MLB player, and what we do is we discuss that particular moment or season on its own. Not his whole career, just a single season. Still really fun to do, super interesting sometimes, so if you like what you're hearing here, be sure to check that out as well. Like I mentioned a minute ago, we also have some awesome interviews. We've got former Cy Young Award winner Brett Saberhagen. We got former All-Star Jair Jurgens, former starting first baseman Derek Barton, and plenty more. There's something for every baseball fan here. If you're interested in helping out the show some free ways, you know, you can leave a 5-star review. That always goes a long way. You can download episodes. That really helps me too. Tell your friends. Word of mouth is the best way to spread information about a new podcast. Greatly appreciate that too. One final way would be to, in the description of this episode, you will see a link. That link is to the Underdog newsletter. What the Underdog newsletter is a free sports newsletter that publishes new articles every Sunday morning, and it's all about underdogs in every single sport. Truly some uplifting and inspiring articles. I really think listeners of the show, if you like this show, you'd like these articles. So just click on that link, subscribe. You just need to put in your email. It's completely free, guys, and it really helps me out. So thank you guys for that. Enough of the promotion and information, though, because it's a great day to talk about baseball. So let's get into the pretty good career of Brett Laurie. Brett Russell Laurie was born on January 18, 1990 in Langley, British Columbia, Canada. During his high school years, Laurie played for a team known as the Langley Blaze. The Blaze is a team founded by former minor league pitcher Doug Matheson, and they're a part of the British Columbia Premier Baseball League, and they've won 4 championships. These wins came in 2002, 2005, 2006, and 2014. Since 2001, 34 former Langley Blaze players have been drafted by the MLB. Some notable alumni include Scott Matheson, who pitched for the Phillies and his founder Doug Matheson's son, Cardinals and Red Sox outfielder slash bodybuilder Tyler O'Neill, and of course, Brett Laurie. After playing quite well for the Langley Blaze, Brett Laurie's MLB journey would begin as he was selected 16th overall by the Milwaukee Brewers in the first round of the 2008 MLB Draft. This was a draft that saw Tim Beckham go first to the Rays, Pedro Alvarez went second to the Pirates, Eric Hosmer went third to the Royals, Brian Mattis went fourth to the Orioles, and rounding out the top five was the great Buster Posey, who went to the Giants. This is also a draft that saw previous episode subject Ike Davis get selected just a couple spots after Laurie at 18th. While Laurie was with the Langley Blaze, he was primarily a catcher, but he would quickly make the jump to second base when the Brewers assigned him to the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers of the Midwest League. The Timber Rattlers are a single-A team in the Brewers organization, so Laurie would be working his way up from the very bottom of the minor leagues, which isn't something abnormal. While with the team, Laurie played in 105 games and did well, hitting .274 with 13 homers and 65 RBIs and an .802 OPS and 372 at-bats. That's a fairly large sample size, so right out the gate, Brett Laurie was proving he had legit MLB potential. Laurie was so good in single-A that in mid-August, the Brewers actually decided to promote him to double-A. He played 13 games with the double-A Huntsman Stars, where he managed to hit .269. He was also selected to play in the MLB All-Star Futures game, so everyone was seeing the talent that Brett Laurie had. Laurie would spend 2010 playing the whole season in Double-A Huntsville, appearing in 135 games and hitting a solid .286 with 8 homers, 63 RBIs, 36 doubles, and an OPS of .797. He would once again be selected to play in the All-Star Futures game, his second consecutive selection. Say that 3 times fast, please. After the 2010 season, Laurie was considered by almost everyone as one of Milwaukee's top prospects, so it might have come as a surprise to some when on December 6, 2010, Brett Laurie was traded to the Toronto Blue Jays in exchange for Sean Markham. Brett Laurie, a Canadian, would be playing within the only baseball organization from Canada, the Toronto Blue Jays. Laurie would spend the first part of the 2011 baseball season playing for the Las Vegas 51s, the Blue Jays' AAA team. In May of that year, he was hit by a pitch, and it caused him to suffer a non-displaced fracture in his hand, which took him out of action for a few weeks. Injury or not, though, Brett Laurie was sensational in Las Vegas, hitting .353 with 18 homers and an OPS over 1,000. The Blue Jays were hoping that what happened in Vegas wouldn't stay in Vegas, because they called him up to the big leagues on August 4th, 2011, after he absolutely tore up the minor leagues. Travis Snyder was optioned to AAA in order to make room for Brett Laurie on the MLB squad. The next night, on August 5th, 2011, in a game against the Baltimore Orioles, Brett Laurie would make his MLB debut. The game would be played at the beautiful Camden Yards, and it saw the visiting Toronto Blue Jays roll out a lineup of Yennel Escobar leading off and playing shortstop, Eric Thames hitting second and playing left field, Jose Bautista hit third and played right field, Adam Lind batted cleanup and played first base, Edwin Encarnacion did the DHing and hit 5th, Colby Rasmus hit 6th and played center field, Aaron Hill hit 7th and played second base, J.P. Arencibia did the catching and hit 8th, and making his major league debut and hitting 9th was the man of the hour, the amazing Brett Laurie. For the home team, the Baltimore Orioles, they threw out a lineup that saw Robert Andino leading off and playing shortstop, Nick Markakis playing right field, Adam Jones in center field, Vladimir Guerrero Sr. DH'd and hit cleanup, Mark Reynolds, the subject of the show's very first episode, the Sultan of SWAT, just kidding, more like the Sheriff of Swattingham. Anyway, he hit 5th and played first base, Matt Wieters did the catching and hit 6th, Nolan Reimold hit 7th and played left field, Josh Bell, not that current Josh Bell, played 3rd and hit 8th, and Cesar Torres hit last and played 2nd base. Getting the start for the Orioles that day was Tommy Hunter, a guy who would eventually turn into a pretty effective reliever as his career went on. Brett Laurie would get his first MLB bat in the top of the second inning with his team down 2-0. Edwin Encarnacion and Aaron Hill had both singled earlier in the inning to put runners on first and second. Laurie would get the count to 2-2 before in the fifth pitch of the at-bat, he'd rip a line drive single in the center field, driving in Encarnacion and moving Aaron Hill into third base.
And we know Brett's grandfather, Tom, is watching in Vancouver, and Tom, your wish has come true. Your grandson is playing in the big leagues. Up the middle, base hit. Laurie is going to get an RBI as the first run of the ball game will come in for the Blue Jays. And Encarnacion scores, and how about that? Brett Laurie gets an RBI single in his first big league at bat. And there's the baseball.
In just one very effective swing, he recorded his first MLB hit as well as his first MLB RBI. Laurie would get his second at bat in his MLB debut in the top of the fourth inning and would ground out to third base, making him 1-for-2 so far in the day. Troy Patton would then get Brent Laurie to strike out looking in the top of the sixth inning to make him 1-for-3 on his MLB debut thus far. That would of course be Brent Laurie's first career MLB strikeout. The final at bat of Brent Laurie's MLB debut would come in the top of the eighth inning against Chris Jakubowskis. That's a cool name. Jakubowskis. Sorry. After taking a ball on the first pitch, he would then proceed to hit a single into left field for his second hit of the day. He'd also almost get his second career RBI on this base knock, but Colby Rasmus was sadly thrown out at the plate, which ended the inning and squandered his chance for his second career RBI. So that ended Brent Laurie's day at 2-for-4, a largely successful MLB debut by anyone's standards. The Blue Jays would also win the game with a score of 5-4, moving their record to 57-55 on the season at the time. Brent Laurie's first career home run would come on August 10th in a game against the Oakland A's. It would come off of future Red Sox GM Craig Breslow and would actually be a grand slam. And this grand slam would give the Blue Jays a 6-3 lead. It had to be so nice for your first career home run to be that impactful. Later on in the game, Brent Laurie would also hit his first career double as well. What a great game for the 21-year-old rookie. Laurie's first career walk-off homer would be hit the next month on September 5th when he'd crush a ball off of Dan Wheeler, which was the only run scored in a 1-0 11-inning game against the Boston Red Sox. Laurie's rookie season would unfortunately end a little earlier than expected when on September 21st, he fractured a finger on his right hand while fielding a ball in batting practice. Overall in 2011, Brent Laurie would play in 43 games for the Blue Jays and receive 150 at-bats. Laurie was without a doubt productive, hitting .293 with 9 homers, 25 RBIs, and an OPS of .953. One thing I found interesting about this first taste of big league action from Brent Laurie was that he managed to not ground into a single double play. If you wanted another obscure stat from Laurie's 2011 season, it would have to be the fact that in the second inning of games, he hit .429. This was the only inning he hit above .400 during his rookie season. So, it's kind of interesting, I guess. Laurie's 2012, his sophomore season in the MLB, would not be as great as his initial call-up to the big leagues in 2011, but it was still pretty good. He played in 125 games and got 494 at-bats, hitting a nice .273 with 11 homers and 48 RBIs. He had an OPS of .729 with an OPS plus of .98, indicating that offensively, he was ever so slightly just below average. However, when you couple his amazing defensive WAR of 2.4, along with the fact that he was making the league minimum at the time, he was without a doubt providing a great amount of value to the Blue Jays. Now, Brent Laurie, like we discussed before, is Canadian, and maybe that would help to explain as to when he played at the Rogers Center in Toronto, he was a much better hitter than he was on the road in 2012. At home, Brent Laurie played in 60 games and got 232 at-bats, and in these at-bats, he hit an impressive .302 with 7 homers, 27 RBIs, and an OPS of .812. While playing on the road, Brent Laurie played in 65 games and got 262 at-bats and managed to hit .248 with 4 homers and 21 RBIs, and he had an OPS of .656. While these numbers on the road aren't by any means disastrous or anything, it's undeniable that when he was playing at home, he was a much better hitter. The 2012 Toronto Blue Jays would finish the season with a 73-89 record, missing the playoffs and finishing in fourth place in the always competitive AL East. Laurie would open the 2013 MLB season on the injured list, but he would return to the lineup on April 16th in a game against the Chicago White Sox. Sadly, his return would be brief, as on May 29th, he was placed back on the injured list after spraining his ankle in a game while sliding into second base. Upon his return from that injury, this season would become a notable one for Brent Laurie because on July 13th, he'd play his first ever MLB game at second base. He had been used only as a third baseman up to that point. A few days later though, manager John Gibbons gave an interview stating that Laurie would move back to third base exclusively though, which ended the second base experience with Brent Laurie. Due to the injured list stints we previously discussed, Brent Laurie played in only 107 games in 2013, getting 401 at-bats. he'd have a season that was fairly similar to his 2012. He'd hit .254 with 11 homers, 46 RBIs, and an OPS of .712. He was also once again posting above average defensive numbers according to most metrics. Turning that calendar over to 2014, Brett Laurie got some insanely cool news. He was named as the cover athlete for the Canadian version of MLB The Show. Jose Bautista had previously been on the cover for the past two seasons, but for 2014, it was Brett Laurie's turn. I actually had no clue that the MLB The Show video game had different covers for a Canadian version, so I thought this was a pretty cool fact to include in the episode. As far as 2014 goes baseball-wise, it was a bit of a tough season for Brett Laurie, but it wasn't due to poor performance. Laurie just had a tough time avoiding injuries. They would start to pile up on June 22nd when he'd get hit by a Johnny Cueto pitch that fractured one of his fingers and sent him to the injured list. He'd return in August, but soon after would experience back issues that landed him on the injured list yet again. His season would eventually end after he suffered an oblique strain that ended his season. Laurie would only play in 70 games, hitting .247 with 12 homers and 38 RBIs. Despite the limited amount of playing time, his 12 long balls were a career high for him at the time. 2014 would prove to be the final season that Brett Laurie would play for the Toronto Blue Jays, as on November 28, 2014, Brett Laurie, along with Kendall Graveman, Sean Nolan, and Franklin Barreto, were traded for the future MVP, Josh Donaldson. Laurie would go from Canada to California for the next chapter of his MLB career. In Oakland, Brett Laurie's season would start off slow. On April 7th, he even struck out four times on just 12 pitches, earning the not-so-coveted Golden Sombrero. This wouldn't be a slump that would last all season long, though, as Laurie would eventually set career high in games played with 149, home runs with 16, and RBIs with 60. Brett Laurie was pretty much healthy the whole season and got to put together some good counting stats because of it. Despite career highs in a ton of statistical categories, Brett Laurie would only play one season for the Oakland Athletics. They traded him on December 9, 2015 to the Chicago White Sox in exchange for J.B. Wendelken and Zachary Irwin. Laurie would be primarily used as a second baseman and DH rather than a third baseman while with the White Sox. Laurie would play in 94 games for the White Sox, hitting .248 with 12 homers and 36 RBIs. He'd have an OPS of .723 and an OPS plus of 97. On July 21st, Brett Laurie would start a game for the White Sox and go 0-for-1 before being pulled from the game in the fourth inning. He tweaked his hamstring, but later on it would be found to have affected his quad, knee, and hip as well. This would not only be Brett Laurie's last game with the Chicago White Sox, but also his last game in the MLB. After the 2016 season, Brett Laurie and the White Sox avoided arbitration and agreed to a $3.5 million deal, but the White Sox decided to release Brett Laurie on March 3, 2017, just before the MLB season began. Laurie would sit out 2017 and 2018, presumably to rehab his numerous lingering injuries, and they all really just hindered him in the seasons prior. In February of 2019, Brett Laurie was able to reconnect with the Brewers on a minor league deal, but sadly, he'd be released by them on June 18th without playing a single game within their organization. Barring an unexpected comeback, that would prove to be the end of Brett Laurie's time in professional baseball. Overall, for his MLB career, Brett Laurie appeared in 588 games and got 2,217 at-bats, in which he hit .261 with 71 homers and 253 RBIs. He had an OPS of .734 and an OPS plus of 101. He was worth 15.6 WAR during his career and made $8,122,372 according to Baseball Reference. Against right-handed pitching during his MLB career, Brett Laurie hit .256 with a .727 OPS, and against left-handed pitching, Brett Laurie hit .275 with a .755 OPS. So, like we discussed earlier, he is a little bit better against left-handed pitching, and that makes sense because he batted right-handed. In home games for his career, Brett Laurie hit .269 with an OPS of .764, and on away games, he hit .253 with an OPS of .705. Brett Laurie was without a doubt a pretty good player. It just seems like, sadly, his body wasn't able to handle a rigorous 162-game MLB season. And there's honestly not many people who can. When he was on the field, he was electric, high intensity, and a guy with great defense and a good bat as well. I hope everyone looks back on his career with fondness, just like I do. When he was healthy, he had all the makings of a star in the MLB, whether it was the look, the energy, the intensity, or his play on the field. Brett Laurie was pretty good. Well, guys, that was the pretty good career of Brett Laurie. I want to thank you all for tuning into the show, and if you like what you heard, be sure to look out for new episodes every week, and if you wouldn't mind leaving a 5-star review, that would be awesome. Don't forget to check out the Underdog newsletter in the description of the episode and subscribe to it. The articles are great, and it's all completely free, and it really helps me out. I really appreciate all of you guys taking time out of your day and talking baseball with me. It's the best thing in the world to do, in my opinion. This has been the MLB Hall of Pretty Good podcast. Thanks, guys.